Hello and welcome to my podcast Renew Motherhood. And here we continue with part two of the episode Learn to Learn with the world's fastest reader, Howard Burke. Enjoy it.
Now, you know what happens when you do this three times? Nothing. Now, you probably would like something. So let me show you how that works. Remember, we talked about Pavlov. Remember Pavlov? He rang a bell, he fed a dog. He rang a bell, he fed a dog. Eventually, he rang a bell, and the dog drooled. You don't want to drool. The latest studies on the brain say it takes 90 days to make a habit, not 30, 90. If you do what I showed you, slow, medium, fast, every day for 90 days, now you're in an important test, and it's long. Like an SAT or an ACT, many, many hours, and you start to get tired. And you can't think. You don't want to stand up in the middle of the test and start rubbing your shoulders. They'll throw you out of the room. They'll think something's very wrong with that person. What you can do, grab your thumb and say to yourself, I feel great. Yes, that's your bell. Every time you did this, you felt better. You stimulated the left brain. You stimulated the right brain. You did them both at the same time when your knees were moving and it woke you up. And now you remember it and you go, I feel great, yes, to yourself. And your brain remembers every time you do this, you wake up and the test is still going and you wake up. Or the class is boring and you wake up. You're studying at night and you wake up. And now this is emotional intelligence. They don't teach this in school. They expect you to know how to do it, but they never show you how it works. And if you do this right, you can learn to relax. Like, imagine them teaching you to drive. And you, perfect, you know how to drive. Time for the road test. And you call me up and say, Howard, I failed. How could you fail? You were so good at driving. I got nervous. It was a test. I couldn't remember what you taught me. You know how many people have that experience? What if you knew how to relax instantly? Just like you now know how to wake up. What would happen now when you take the test is you put yourself in a relaxed state. So when you're taking that SAT or the ACT, instead of going, oh my God, it's so important. What am I going to do? You're so focused and calm. You do really, really well. You remember everything you needed to remember. Instead of panicking, which so many people do. And you can wake up if you get too tired. So you don't say, I want to go home now. I don't care anymore. How many students like 3 hours into the test? I don't like this. I'm bored. I want to go home. And their parents spend thousands more in tuition because the scholarship they would have gotten if they just stayed awake another hour, they didn't get because they were too lazy to go another hour or two. This is things every school should teach. How to stay in state, how to remember. And this is only one tool. There's many. There's many tools for state. There's many tools for memory. One tool works better in languages. One tool works better in science. Another works in a novel. It's not the same. Reading a novel isn't learning to do surgery in medical school. If the person reading the novel read like a doctor, it would be horrible. It would be too hard. If the doctor read like the person in the novel, they kill somebody because they don't remember. Yeah, so it's not just reading. It's different kinds of reading where you really have to know everything so you don't hurt someone versus you know something. It's just a little bit. And you have to learn how to change what you're doing to fit what you're doing. And that's what I'm teaching. That's what I'm teaching.
That's it's at so wonderful.
Learning.com. Any questions on what we covered so far?
Any questions? No. So from my daughter, not. But I think it's so, this is really crucial. And I really like to place that. I just can emphasize this because this is a change in our society. It truly is. If each of us just would implement those things we can just increase in everything. And this is crucial. We need this. We need this growth. We need to get further and to really to make a change in this world.
It's actually 7 weeks. It's like 10 minutes a day, because a lot of the youngsters today can't sit still for hours and hours. They're too high energy. So we made it a couple of minutes a day and then practice so they can use what they learn, like we just practiced. And after 7 weeks, they read 100% faster or more. They'll know what they read. They'll remember it when they need to use it. They'll stay calm during tests. They'll stay alert when they're bored, and they'll know all the different study skills that they need to finish. They'll also learn there's writing. We didn't talk about that, but do you ever have to write reports for school? Yes. Reports? Do you have to ever do book reports or essays for school?
Yeah. Yes. Offset.
It's,
yes.
It's not easy sometimes, is it?
Yes.
Okay, what if you could instantly write anything? Would that help?
Absolutely.
I'm going to show you some trick. I wrote my last book in 5 hours, and it went number one on Amazon the next day. I actually made it. I took teach people how. It's not hard. How hard was it to remember? Was that hard? No. That's how hard it is to write fast. We had kids in my school, 11 years old to 15. They did 28-page MLA-cited reports, and they did it in 4 hours. And this school, it was a religious school, so they took the papers to a seminary and gave it to the dean. The person I worked with had a PhD in theology, and he made it look like these were his graduate students, and he needed help grading papers. He didn't tell them it was the kids that were 11 to 15. So he thought he was grading the graduate students in his class. And he said, well, how did they do? He says, well, two of them got second year graduate credit. Two of them got first year graduate credit. The rest got senior credit. And I'm a little disappointed. This is a graduate program. He said, well, the oldest student you graded was 15 and the youngest was 11. And if they're doing senior college essays at 11 years old, that's pretty good. Well, I'm going to show you some things now to help make that happen for you. And that's part of what I teach is writing. So why do we have trouble writing? What causes writer's block? Well, we normally communicate. We do what I'm doing now. I'm talking. But when you write, you're not talking. Using your hands. What are you using, a pen? Or typing? You're using your hands to make words. That's not what your brain does normally. And so it has to take your ideas that are in here instead of out your mouth, out your hands. And getting the switch from the mouth to the hands doesn't always go smoothly. So you're staring at the blank page. You don't, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? You can't think of what to say. That's one problem. The other problem is there's two parts to your brain. One side likes to edit, make it perfect. One side doesn't care, just wants to get the job done, wants to write and go out and do something else. So what happens, and see if you can relate to this, you write 10, 15 lines. You look at what you wrote and say, this is terrible. And you erase it and you start it again. This is worse. And you erase it. And an hour later, you got nothing done. You've been working for an hour and nothing's done. So what I teach students to do is write the bad paper first. Do the whole thing. Don't fix anything. Finish it. Now, go back and perfect it. Analyze it. Make it an A. If you just let your brain tell the story first, don't correct anything, and go back after and correct it, you'll get it done in half the time. And I'll teach you 3 ways to do this now. Would that help you?
Absolutely.
I got this from an interview with Paul McCartney. Now, I'm in Guinness as the fastest reader in the world. He's in Guinness as the most prolific songwriter in the world. Writing songs is like writing a story, only it's shorter. But
Right.
he did the best job in history, so I'm going to say he's pretty good at it. What he said he'd do is he listened to a song that already someone else wrote. And then he would change some of the notes, and he changed some of the chords, and he changed some of the words, and he changed some of the chords. And when he was done, the song was totally new. It wasn't the song he started with. He morphed it into the new song from an old song. How can you do that? I'm going to show you three ways to do that right now. One way is you look at a book and how they put it together, the way they used headings and titles and bolding and italics. That would work very well in my report. If I use that same style of organizing, it would really work well for me. So you copy out one or two chapters with the formatting, then you erase what you copied, and you keep writing using the formatting you just used. So it's your book, but it's their formatting.
Mm-hmm.
Second technique, you find someone who writes well. You say, this is really interesting. I love how they write. So you copy two or three chapters of what they wrote, and your brain is learning how they write. Then get rid of what they wrote and start writing but keep writing the way you just did. You're using the same metaphors and sentence structures they did, and now you're writing the way they write. Now, the third way, and this is a really easy way, with a lot of these AI courses, the kids don't do the writing. They let the thing do the writing for them. That's bad. That's not good. Here's what you can do with AI. You have it make an outline. So I would say, I'm reading A Tale of Two Cities. Give me an outline of the plot, the characters, the theme, the atmosphere of the book. Give me an outline. And it gives you the main thoughts and ideas and things that the characters are doing. And then you turn that into a report. It's not writing the report. It's telling you what ideas to write about. So you have a list of things to write about, which is better than a blank page. And you're writing. The AI is not writing. You're writing. What the AI did is tell you these are things you can write about. It's like when you're on a test and it says, tell me why the heart works. And that's the question. And then you write why the heart works. Well, it's telling you things you need to answer. Treat each thing as a question. And then write an essay for each of the questions. And when you're done, your report's done. And it's very well organized because you're putting in all the things that need to be put in, just like it told you, but you're not letting it do the work. You're doing the writing, not the AI. No teacher would be angry if you write it yourself. There's nothing cheating about getting an outline and writing it yourself. It's cheating when you make it write it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't even know that it did it because you're writing it yourself. It's your own words. It sounds like you wrote it because you wrote it. But it's telling you what sequence to use and what ideas to write about. And so instead of like, what do I write about? What am I going to do now? What's the next thing I want? It's there. You see, okay, I got to write this. You go writing that. And you say, what now? Oh, this, I'll write that. And it's your work. And that's not cheating. That's not cheating. It's being smart. You're allowing it to get you started. It's much easier to write from an outline what you want to write than I don't know what I'm going to write. It's just a blank sheet. Can you see how you could get your reports done much faster doing it that way?
Yes.
And better.
Really, because this has a structure. And you can just put it inside what is actually related to you, to yourself, because you have chosen it from different
your words.
Parts.
And
yes,
then you add stuff.
That's
you powerful. Add your ideas, you add your quotes. It's your work. You did the whole job. All that it did was give you a list of things you could write about
wow.
in the right order. And if you have a really good outline, it's much easier to write when you know what you want to do next and what do I want to do next and what do I want to do next. But I'm doing it. I'm not letting it write it. I'm letting it tell me what I want to write next. And I'm doing all the writing.
Oh,
I'm
that's
doing all the writing. That's not cheating. Cheating is having it write it. That's not what you do. That's very bad. You'll get caught and you can get expelled in college for doing that. It's very bad. That's a funny story. A lawyer handed in this brief to a judge and he was quoting some of the cases that proved that he was right. And next day the judge comes in, he says, I can't find any of these cases in any of my books. And the other lawyer, the one that he's working against, I can't find these cases either. Where did you get these cases? And he said, well, I didn't do it. One of the people in my office used AI to find these cases. AI wrote the cases. There were no cases. It invented them. They weren't real. And that's, he got in a lot of trouble. You could lose your license for that.
Yeah.
He submitted false evidence. He gave the judge evidence that didn't exist and said it did. These are the cases. That's why we should win. And they didn't exist. He
don't do this.
He did it, checked it. You can't just trust AI. Mm-hmm. It's not that smart. You need to confirm everything on your own. And he didn't do that. He almost got his license taken away for what he did. Because as far as the judge was concerned, you just lied under oath about these cases to win. You can't do that.
Absolutely.
So you never use AI to write your material. You use it to give you the ideas you want to write about. And all of it is your work. And then delete everything the AI did and write it in your own words. And you'll get very good grades and it won't require as much work. We had a student, Jamie, gorgeous girl. She was a model for, I think, Penny's at 16. Well, she went to TCU and she had the highest LSAT score at 17 of the whole college. And she was from my school. And she said, on Friday night, I did all my reading because they could read 100 to 400% faster than anyone else. I did all my reports, all of them for all my classes Friday night. And all the weekend, I went out partying with my friends. And the parents didn't care if she had an A-plus average. They don't care if you have an A-plus average if you're having fun. They care if you have a D-minus average and you're out having fun and not doing your work. That sometimes makes a parent very angry. And she got into law school. Now she's a clerk for a federal judge in Washington. She said, I would get all my work done Friday night and all my friends spent all weekend writing one paper. They couldn't write fast enough. They didn't know what I just taught you. And so they took the whole weekend. She did all the papers and the reading, and one night they did one report, took the whole weekend. So she said, well, I'm a kid. I want to have fun. I'm still young. I'm single. I want to have fun. I don't want to spend my whole weekend writing and studying. But nobody cared because she had an A-plus average because she knew how to learn and how to remember and how to understand. And she got it done faster and better. And no parent is going to criticize you for enjoying yourself as a young person if your average is A and you keep it up. And that's what we teach the kids to do. We teach them in elementary through high school how to think like a college student, how to learn. They start college at 11. I'll show you how. So you're taking, let's say in my school, they took American history. You'd probably take German history. You're taking history. So in American history, they say, who was the first president? They say, George Washington. That's very good. Now you're in college history, American history. Who was the first president? George Washington. Very good. What changed? What changed? Nothing. Something changed. It's $5,000 to go to the course in college and free in high school. So now you're paying $5,000 for the same information. What if you took an AP test in high school? Because you knew how to study like a college student, take, you read the high school book, now get the college book, and you learn this much more. It's this much more. Who's the first vice president? Who's the first secretary of state? A few more names, a few more wars, a few more, that's history, a few more inventions. You learn a few more. Now you've got the same information you learned in high school, and you added this much more, which was what college did, and you took the test, the College Advanced Placement Test. You passed it. You don't need to take history in college. You finished it. And so these kids started college as sophomores. They finished their first year of college in high school. They didn't have to bother with the first year, and some of them the second year. They were graduating
Wow.
college in 2 to 3 years. Most students take six. They can't read and write quickly enough, so they don't take all the classes they could take. They take fewer and fewer classes because they can't do the work. So it
Yeah.
takes 6 years. That means mom gets to spend an extra 50% more in tuition. Now, in my country, my grandson's starting college, 95,000 a year for college. 95,000, that's $400,000 for 4 years. He goes 6 years, it's 600,000. That's a
Incredible.
lot of money. Now, he
Yeah,
got a
it is.
scholarship, but even with the scholarship, he got a $65,000 scholarship. Very good. Still 30,000 a year. That's not a little bit of money with the scholarship. That's so you figured 2 more years is $60,000, but he won't need that. He'll finish in 3 or 4. Most students
Yeah.
today, 50% don't finish 4 year school. 50%.
Wow.
70% do not finish 2 year schools. 30% graduate because they can't do the work. Here's why. In high school, it's the style of learning is called pedagogical. Children, here's the facts you need to know. And they put them on the board and they tell you the facts, they tell you the formula, and the test is the 10 facts they showed you yesterday and the 10 formula they taught you yesterday. They told you what to study, they told you what you needed to know, and you learned it. That's high school. In college, they give you an 800-page book and say, the test is tomorrow. Read it and tell me the answers. My first class in college was a Tuesday night. I never forgot this. It's English. They gave us the Odyssey, which was this thick. It was about 500 pages. It's Tuesday night. We finish class at 9 p.m. The next class is Thursday night at 7:30. This is what he said. By Thursday night, I want you to have read this 400-page book, and I want a 10-page report Thursday night.
Wow.
So I was going to go back to my room and go to sleep, but now I got to read a 400-page book tonight so I can do the report tomorrow. That's college. It's not
Wow.
easy. They give you a book that's this thick. They say you got 2 days to read it and write 10 pages. That's
Wow.
one class. All the other classes do the same thing. But when
So
you
that's
can
fun.
read a book, I can read 10 books in 3 hours, big books. Okay, I don't expect you to do that, but I'll tell you what you will do. I had an 84-year-old, Ruth Lubin. She was Miss Senior California, and I taught her in Pasadena. And she read the day after I taught her, and she was 84, 3 books in 3 hours the next day. The next day. And she called me
Wow.
and said, I read 3 books in 3 hours. I'm 84. I don't know how much more time I have, but there's so many things I want to learn. Thank you. Now I can do it. And if an
Wow.
84-year-old can read 3 books in 3 hours, I bet you can do just as well when you learn the whole system. Again, berglearning.com. We have a team of people. They help you if you have a problem, they show you how to fix it. And when they can't, I do it. Because I don't just want people to buy a program. I want them to learn it. The world's in trouble. You watch the news. There's all kinds of problems, and young people are going to get stuck with all the mistakes people have made. And no one's teaching you how to fix those problems. My goal
Right.
is to make students like you smart enough so you can fix the problems. I can't fix every problem, but I can help someone who becomes a doctor find a
You can
cure.
multiply us.
Right. One person reads 50 more books in cancer and finds a cure. Another one finds a way to stop global warming. And another, and they do it because they can learn more. They read more. They understand it. They remember it. They can connect the dots. And now we have smart people who couldn't have done something doing it. And the world is a better place. That's really why I do this. I'm 75 and I like what I do. I feel it's a responsibility. I don't think everyone in the world could read 80 pages a minute, but imagine if everyone in the world could read 100, 200, 300% faster and remember
Wonderful.
it and understand it. How much better jobs would they get? How much more
Absolutely.
money could they make? You make more money when you have better information. A brain surgeon makes more money than the person who's digging a hole in the hot sun. It's still hard work. I'm not knocking it. It's very hard work, but they'll never pay them the money. They'll pay a brain surgeon because that person's information is worth a lot more to you than the person who digs a hole. It's physical. And in life, the people who know more and have better knowledge do better. I want students to start their own businesses, not get jobs. You never make the same money in a job you make when you work for yourself. If they give you $100,000, you made a million. They give you a million, you made 10 million. They can't give you what you made. You have to make a profit. If you work for yourself, it goes to you. All
Yes.
of it. Why wouldn't you want all of it? Why do you want to give it to somebody else? And so I
Right.
had a group of kids, 11 to 15 years old, very young. One of the kids' brothers had Down syndrome, and they wanted to help find a cure. Obviously, you're 11, you can't find a cure for Downs. So they raised money. They started a website called Adopt the Mouse. They made a mouse out of felt and made it in China. They were 11 to 15. They read a book on how to do a website. They made their own website. They read a book on how to talk in public, how to speak. They spoke for Rotary and Lions and on TV. And their first year, these 11 to 15 year old children made $93,000 American dollars in their first year of business. And this is the best part. They won the Silver Pyramid. Once a year in Vegas, they have like the Oscars for the movies. They have one for advertising. And they won as the
Wow.
best not-for-profit business in America. They beat Rotary. They beat the Red Cross. They were 11 to 15 years old and had the best business running in America at 11 years old. What are they going to do when they grow up? Do they need a job? No. They already were making $93,000 a year when they were 11 years old. They'll never need a job. They already know how to do it. And when they get out of college, they'll be even smarter. And that's my vision for young people like you. When you get out of college, say, where am I going to find a job? And even if you find one, they don't pay you what you're worth. They pay you what they think they can make money off of you. They're going to always pay you less than you make, or else they lose the business. Instead, you get it yourself, and it's so much better. So you buy a computer. Say it's $3,000. You have to make $4,000. So after taxes, you have $3,000. So that $3,000 computer cost you $4,000.
Okay.
If you're in business, the business buys the computer. They spend $3,000 and it's tax-free because it's a write-off. It's a business expense. You
Right.
need a car. It's $60,000. You need to make $90,000. So after taxes, you have $60,000. A company leases the car, the $60,000 car. It's tax-free because it's a business expense. Everything is set up for people in business. The things, health insurance, you pay for it after taxes. Businesses pay for it before taxes. So if you have a company, so many of the things you do that you have to pay taxes and then pay the bill, you pay from the business. It's legal. And $1 is a dollar, not $2 is $1.
Yeah,
and that's right. Why it's so important. Even if you get a job, have a side thing, a business on the side, so you can do certain expenses like a computer or a car through that business, even if it's not your main income. It's still income.
Right.
And that business can have a business expense, even a small business. It can still buy that computer for you. And it can buy some of the books you need because it's stuff you use for business. As long as it's legitimate for the business, businesses can spend the money and before taxes. They write off what you pay for after taxes.
Right.
Why don't they teach
That's
that in
so
school?
Wonderful. Howard, our time runs out. I think we can talk for hours, and still it's more and
more.
More
next
and
time. How to be a genius. I could teach you how to be a genius next time.
Yes, absolutely. So
it's
we
learnable.
love this.
It's a skill you can learn.
Wonderful. This
Remember, Berg Learning, B-E-R-G Learning. What I've taught you today are little pieces of the whole program. We didn't have 7 weeks, so we did what we could. But I think you saw enough to know, one, it works, it's fun, and it's easy. And
yeah,
a student who wants to be better in school can use this to have a much better life and get their work done faster and have more time to be a kid and enjoy themselves. If you get your work done in half the time, your mom will not care if you're getting A's if you're out with your friends.
Wow, that's so wonderful. So people can reach out to you to berglearning.com and get all the information and get into your programs and really
and
to
get help if they need it. We'll help them. We want them to learn the program, not just buy the program. It isn't, it's like a book. If you don't read it, it doesn't do you any good. We want smarter children. We need to help them be successful in a world. There's lots of challenges they're going to have. We want to prepare them for this world to be better at it than we were.
Wonderful.
And that's my mission. I'm a Rotary. I was a president of my Rotary Club. And one of the things in Rotary is education. So I really, really, and if any of you have a school and would like me to volunteer and do something like this on Zoom, I do it all the time. I train companies. I help people. That's really what I do. It's about making a better world, not just making money.
Great. I really appreciate this. It's so wonderful that you have been my guest on this show. And thanks to my daughter as well.
You were
because
great.
She didn't
You were
know.
great. I expected a little girl. I thought you were going to be like 9 years old. I'm like, whoa.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
she didn't want to come.
I was
Actually,
like, you don't look old enough to have a student that age. I was like, who's that?
Who's that? Yes. And she was asking her sister, said, hey, do you want to come? And she said, no, 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 no.
Was it easy and fun? Tell the truth. Wasn't it
easy?
Yes,
it was easy to learn.
Yeah. You can go as fast as you were, you will go at least 100 to 400% faster by the time you're done with the program, at least. And remember it and understand it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you here. Yes, so stay tuned and listen to those episodes that will follow. And yes, have an awesome day.
Thank you.